podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Longevity and karate training. Let's go.
Hello, this is your host, Les Bubka, and welcome to today's episode of Anxious Black Belt, a podcast that focuses on karate, mental health, and everything in between. If you enjoy my content and would like to support, there's few easy ways to do it. First one is simply to listen to another episode. This helps a lot. Second one, you can buy me a coffee via buy me a coffee link in the show notes. And the third one is to support my work. I'm an author and selling few books. You can find them on Amazon or directly on my website. Link in the show notes below. If you would like to stay up to date with what's coming up, be sure to follow me on social media at Les Bubka. And now let's get back to the show. Enjoy. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I've been really busy with conducting a lot of interviews with the amazing people recently, but I wanted to fit some of my thoughts into the podcast that I've been asking you, and you kindly shared some ideas that what would you like me to talk about. So in this episode, it's gonna be a longevity and how my karate fits into that goal. So you know, starting the karate, we all have some sort of goal or purpose in the martial arts. For me, on the beginning, it was to kick ass, have a good self-defense base. I didn't really want to go, but my friend dragged me into it. Thank you, Peter, if you're listening. And the martial arts changed my life. So as most of you are aware, I suffered with a social anxiety, so it was very difficult for me to do anything involving people, like going to shops, going for training, going to school, and so on and so on. But most of you know the story. If you don't know the story, you can grab my book, Anxious Black Belt, when I go step by step in details how karate have changed my life and helped me to get over the anxiety. Maybe not get over, but keep it under control and evolve to a person I am now. But the primary goal was to be strong, be fit, be able to kick ass, kick to the head, be like Van Damme, because Van Damme is my favorite martial arts actor. And at the time, the movie I was watching as introduction to martial arts was Bloodsport, followed by Kickboxer and Lionheart, Quest, and so and so and so on. So I wanted to be like Van Damme, be able to do high kicks, kick ass, be tough, and nobody would pick on me. With time, by the way, I never achieved the level of Van Damme. I can't kick high, and I kick some ass sometimes on a competition, and done few kicking ass and had my ass kicked probably on the streets as well. So some experience there is. Self-defense wise, I think I achieved a goal. I think I can take care of myself, and it's all fine. But then it came time for sporting achievements, and I really enjoyed it. A preparation, a fear, because with competition came a lot of fear. Fear of judgment, fear of failure. I enjoy the preparation for the sporting arena. I enjoy the success of my friends. For me, it wasn't that much successful. I've got this mentality. I used to have that mentality, I should say. When I win one fight, I'm completely pleased with myself, super happy. I don't need to do anything more. So usually my second, third fight would be a loss. And as difficult it is to admit, it is just me giving up and not living up to my full potential. I only learn in much, much later that I've got that mindset. If you switch the mindset, if you focus on it, you can achieve, and I've been winning since then pretty much everything I entered in or placing myself on a podium. So if you've got access to a sports psychologist and you are an athlete, go and use it. It makes a huge change. Your mental attitude makes a huge change in your performance on the mats. After the sporting, it came fascination with kata, names, and all the labels with karate. And I dug deep into the katas, kata application, how to analyze kata, how to work with kata, and trying to do best applicable techniques work for me. Because we're all different, our bodies are different, and our mindsets are different. Things that work for me will not work for bigger people. And yeah, so through that, some people started branding me SPF, so small person fuckery, because I am adjusting everything from the kata, from martial arts, to suit my body type. As I'm small, I do a small stuff, which sometimes comes as nasty, but there's no malice in it. It's just a use of the techniques that work with me, not the other way around. Lots of people forget that karate is for them, not they are for karate. After that, it came in introductions to wrestling, and really sparked my interest in coaching. In karate, mostly it is, at least it used to be, kind of in Poland, you see, you copy, you teach. So it was kind of a monkey see, monkey do process, which I never agreed. And to a certain degree, I was fortunate having a teacher, Sensei Artur, that he always answered my question with a question. So how do we do this? Well, why you think is that way? Why you think? Always that answer. Why do you think? What do you think? Why do we think we're doing like this? What would you do? When would you do? So the process was hugely frustrating, because I was hoping for a direct answer. We're doing this because this and this and this, not the question, what do you think about it? But in retrospection, years down the line, I really appreciate that approach, because it created a habit of, instead of waiting for a simple answer, digging in, finding it for myself, looking forward, exploring, and questioning everybody. If somebody tells me something, I'm usually looking for other answers. It's like going to the doctors for a diagnosis and checking with the other people, other doctors. Gives you a little bit more view into a possible illnesses. And in karate, it gives you a opening to see other options and other ways of doing things. And wrestling's got a hugely successful methodology. I think it's far better than karate, and I've stolen a lot of training methods from wrestling and I incorporated to my training. I went through the coaching process, so I've got some small qualifications in Polish wrestling, and I'm not a coach, I'm not a professional coach. I just went through some coaching stuff with them, and yeah, I really enjoyed learning their way of approaching everything. Is a play based and game based, so testing stuff, it starts with the games and role playing all the time, and there is very little of static repetition, and everything is with a partner and is kind of logically progressed, and a lot of testing. So also I love about wrestling the whole acrobatic and ability culture. wrestlers are super strong and they can use that strength in multiple planes and angles that are unbelievable. So whenever I can, I incorporate that training of acrobatics, agility, strength into our karate training. I know that the popular thought now is to warm yourself up with the activity you're going to be doing. And this is great for young people. I don't think it is the best way to do with people my age, so 40, 50, 60. As my friend says, you can use martial arts sometimes, but you will use ability to move every day. So I rather spend half an hour of warming up through the mobilization, flexibility, strength, keep my students mobile and restoring their range of motions. For example, most of my students suffer with some kind of impingement of the hips because they sit all the time at work. So we're trying to restore it so they move around better, they feel better. Then we've got a technical training, and then we've got a fun-based sparring to test stuff that we have been working on. And here this takes us to my latest stage. So karate for mental health and physical health, longevity. Because the moving helps so much with mental health, we know that it stimulates all the good hormones in your brain. And I think every culture have got some sort of saying. In Poland, we've got in healthy body, healthy spirit, healthy mind. So taking care of your body helps your mind as well. But most of you know my approach to mental health. The episode is specifically about a longevity. So through that mobility stuff, can restore some of the functions of our body, especially joints, muscles, ligaments. And I can see that on my elderly project. So if you don't know, I am running a thing called TAISO, so body conditioning within our karate style. And I'm working for over 7 years with seniors, or not so young people as they refer to themselves. So we've got the people from 40 years old to 100 years old. And we're working with kata as a mobility tool, relaxation tool, meditation tool. And we can see that people who came to us with a, let's say, shoulder mobility issues, we had a lady who had operation on the shoulder and been told by the doctors that a full range of motion won't be restored. Within a few years, she now is able to move that arm nearly to the full range of motion because of karate. So there is a potential in karate to help you restore the movements if you do it sensibly and gently. Kata are great for that improved range of motion. You can modify it, so you can start with the high stances. Let's take a hip in consideration. So you've got a restriction of the hip, you can start with a higher stances, then go to the lower stances. That's the progression. Move through different positions fluidly, drop down, lift up, bring your leg back, bring your leg forward. All those movements are with the Vinkata. For us, we've got a mixture of Goju and Shotokan katas. So we've got a Sanchin and Tensho, which are great for the shoulder mobility, activation of the scapula, and all those little muscles on the back. From Shotokan, we've got loads of leg movements, lots of kicking. So if you take that slowly, that increase your muscle strength and tone, muscle tone. And like I said, for over 5 years, I think it's now 7 years, we're working together. My students, let's say more advanced in life, are able to do deep squats, touch their toes, stretch, bend, and move. Obviously, it is not a super like a youngsters, but I think the quality of life is better than if they would just sit down and do nothing. And this is kind of my approach to my own personal training now. I want to restore the function of my bodies as long as I can. And, you know, with karate, I've got a cardio workout. We spar every session for a half an hour. And the dynamic changes and unpredictability of sparring gives you that taxation of the cardiovascular system. And you spar, you know, 10 rounds of 2 minutes with new partner. You move fast. We're not doing a full contact sparring, but light sparring, but we still move fast using your legs. And everybody who does a kind of pad work or kicking on the bags, you know how much the legs drain the cardio out of you. It's far easier to go with hands only than hands and legs. So this is kind of preventing my cardio. I added the running to it as well, although I hate running. But one must do. I don't want to be that father being on a playground that is not able to run with the kids and have to sit down every 5 minutes because I'm out of breath. In strength, the same thing. I want to be able to lift my kids and be able to put stuff on the shelves and move around. And the physical aspect of karate training, especially for us, that wrestling element where we do a lot of push-ups, sit-ups, Spider-Man walks, rolls, handstands, and just funky gymnastic acrobatic stuff is helping my muscular systems to work. Additionally, I do work out with a kettlebells. I think there are great for generating the explosive power, which is beneficial for karate anyway. So I would recommend everybody to grab the kettlebell and try to fit it within your training. There is no clear prescription what to do, how to do. It's all individual depending on your power, strength, abilities, and so on. But if you're interested in that kind of concept, soon, hopefully, my book Kettlebells for Karate will be available, which highlighting why kettlebells are a great tool to support your karate strength and explosive power. And of course the mobility. I've never been super flexible person, and I moved from stretches to mobility work, and I see a huge improvement in my flexibility. Because now I can move through the range of motion. So doing a dynamic kick, it allows me to go and drive that leg in where I want to. It's far from perfect. I can't do splits and so on, but I've never been able to kick comfortably to the head. And since I hit 40, I am able to do that through a change of training methods. I stopped typical karate stretches. We don't do them practically at all in a club. We went more into a mobility movement, driving through the movements, stepping over, and using dynamic stretches within the range of your mobility, but pretty much restoring the ankle, hip mobility, shoulder mobility, and spine mobility. Gives you far better chance of doing techniques correctly and efficiently. And again, I know I keep coming to the wrestling But in my opinion, karate and wrestling are tied together. We know that in Okinawan school system, everybody was going through a shima or tegumi, which is a wrestling. So people starting karate already would know how to do basic wrestling. And this helps. And, you know, for us, the mobility of the spine is super important, because when we fight, we're not having a straight spine like in a modern traditional karate, that you need to have your spine straight all the time and you're working on the axis. We're working through all the planes and angles, and that flexibility of movement is a key to a avoidance and your defense in sparring. If you can move on the spine, you can avoid much more punches and strikes than if you're rigid. As well, entries to any throws and stuff, your spine needs to be strong and flexible. If you're rigid, then unfortunately you cannot do as much as the person who got a flexible spine. All around, you know, flexibility, strength, and agility is useful in daily life. You know, getting up from the chair without using your hands or making funny noises, going with your children or grandchildren and be able to lift them and don't injure yourself, being able to run to the bus or, you know, run somewhere with the kids or grandchildren, help them to learn how to ride on a bike. These are a priceless moments that can be kept possible by karate training. Also, injury prevention. If you are flexible, mobile, and strong, your body can take more sparring, more techniques, more throws, because your joints, muscles work together, protecting and having more flexibility of movement. If you've got a rigid spine and you land awkwardly, you can tear or pull some muscles. If you've got that flexibility, you're gonna roll through, and hopefully more chances that you're not gonna get injured. It's a kind of, I am enjoying it a lot. As well, you know, in karate we've got kata that we can use as a meditation, relaxation, and helping to calm the mind. So where I'm going outside and it's lovely weather, I love to do a kata nice and slowly, being conscious of the movement, track all my joints, how they move, how they flow through the movement, where the range is finishing, can I stretch it a little bit more? And maybe kata doesn't look as great as top young person doing it crisp and snappy, but I'm enjoying the movement, and through enjoying the movement I can address where is the tension in my body, where I'm moving through the movement, there's restriction. So that gives me ability to kind of scan my body and find the areas that I might need to work on. Overall, this is my focus now in martial arts. I want to keep my body flexible, healthy, and strong. I think karate is a great tool for that. I think everybody should consider it. Instead of putting so much effort to be a killer, and to put some effort into be a flexible and mobile person, because you're gonna need that later in life. If you're 20 years old now, you might not think about taking care of your body, but trust me, if you get older, all those abused times will come back and bite you back, and the healing is not as quick as it used to be. Hey, hope you enjoyed this one, and that's my point on longevity. If you would like to support the channel, as I said in the advert on the beginning, please listen to the next one. It helps a lot. If you would like to grab a mug, head to the shop. We still got a few mugs. If you would like to support, you can donate to buy me a coffee so I can put the coffee in that mug. But I appreciate you. Thank you for listening. And see you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.